My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
A few weeks ago, I was invited to a party by one of my old friends. Since we had all became adults with busy lives, we barely got together anymore. It had been at least 2 years since all of our high school group had been in one spot at the same time. The most well-off of the group, Greg, had a place on the beach. It was a pretty decent-sized place, and I shuddered to think about how much he paid for it. But it was kind of him to offer it up for the weekend. None of us could pass up the chance to relax and party. By the time I got to his place, it was packed. Most people had brought a plus one, or a plus two. There was a lot of unfamiliar faces, but I quickly was introduced and started to get along with my old friend's new partners. Mostly, everyone was drinking and music was playing, but it wasn't like a college party or out-of-control riot. That disappointed one person, Stephen. We all liked Stephen in our own way, but everyone could only deal with him for so long. I arrived late to Greg's place, and by the time I arrived, Stephen was already drunk. He was badgering the other guests in ways only he could. So Greg very kindly asked Stephen to go for a walk on the beach and see if he could find any cool shells. I only saw Stephen for a few minutes before he was off on his treasure hunt. Catching up with everyone else was a good time. I listened mostly, because since college, I didn't really have much going on. I hadn't made any effort in dating and just started to work most of the time to pay off my student loans. But my old friends enjoyed having someone to talk to about their new adult lives and appreciated me just listening. As time ticked by, Greg got a little bit worried. It was too quiet. He did want a break from Stephen, but he had been gone for too long. The sun was going to set and he was worried he might have passed out on the beach or was harassing someone else. Because I had spent the least time with Stephen, and I didn't mind him, I took the bullet and volunteered to go and find him. If I couldn't find him while walking the beach, and if no one could reach him on his phone, we would get more serious about looking. The walk along the beach was nice. I was glad to get out for a little while. I did like seeing all my friends, but with being as busy as I was, I never got to just take a walk and enjoy my surroundings. Greg had worked hard to be where he was in life. I hope he took the time to take walks like this. Just listening to the waves and smelling the salty air. I almost hoped I didn't find Stephen. But around a pile of rocks right near the end of the beach before it turned into a cliff. He was standing, looking at something. As I got closer, I thought I would figure out what he was looking at. But I had no idea. I had never seen something like it before. "Oh, hey," Stephen said, looking over at me when he noticed me walking up. His speech was still a little slurred, but I think this discovery sobered him up a little. "What even is that?" I asked him, hoping he had any idea. What we were looking at was a cube. It came to about my waist. It was transparent and looked like it was made of clear gelatin. It did sort of look like a clear block of ice. Aside from mine and Stephen's footprints, there were no tracks explaining how it got onto the beach. Maybe the sea washed it on shore. "I don't know, it doesn't feel cold. Some sort of jello?" Stephen asked. Before I could stop him, he reached out a hand and slapped the thing. It made a squishy wet sound and rippled slightly. Not as much as I expected. I honestly didn't think it was the best idea to touch the thing. Who knew what chemicals it was covered in, or where it even came from? A smart person wouldn't touch it with their bare hands. But Stephen was far from smart. He was our dumbest friend, and we, in a way, liked him because of that. Even if it got annoying really fast. I'm gonna put my dick in it. Stephen's words caught me so off guard, I couldn't speak for a few seconds. This was beyond Stephen dumb. That idea was just gross. It made my ears turn red, even though I usually don't get embarrassed easily. What? No, why would you? I was sputtering. Why'd you do that? You don't even know what it is. He was smiling at me with a drunken gleam in his eyes. It was hard to tell if he was kidding or just wanted to mess with me. When his hands reached for the waistband of his cargo shorts, my hands shot up over my eyes in disgust. Dude, don't be gross. You don't even know if it's safe to touch it. I heard him cackle over my discomfort and kept his shorts on. It's just some weird jello stuff. It's not some weird alien goo. Here, look. He shot out his arm and shoved it into the clear cube. The mass parting like slime, letting Stephen's arm sink inside. Being the overgrown child he was, he kept squishing his arm in and out and making lewd sounds and laughing. I was not at all impressed. I considered just leaving him and even started to walk away when a scream made me stop. Stephen's face was twisted in horror as he was pulling on his arm, looking like he was unable to remove it. My good nature got the better of me. Not considering it as a joke, I ran over and hooked my arm under his to try pull him back. "Yo, dude, it's a joke," Stephen answered, laughing at my worry, and shrugged me off. He started to pull his arm out, but stopped right below the elbow. I wanted to hit him for making me worried like that, but I only scowled. He was a jerk, but he was still our friend. Stephen only had a crooked grin on his drunken face for a few seconds. He kept pulling on his arm, but his luck started to fall. He pulled and tugged, and even though I was just pranked, I started to get worried. "Are you stuck?" I asked while watching him struggle, still standing behind him, ready to help. "No, it's like that suction thing. If I wiggle, I can just..." I watched as he wiggled and struggled to get his arm free of the cube. When asked for help, I was ready to jump in and start tugging again. But if that didn't work, I didn't know what else to do. I wasn't going to touch the cube, and I didn't have my phone on me. I was using it for directions to get here. I asked Greg to plug it in for me as soon as I walked in, and didn't grab it on my way out to find Stephen. I would have to leave him to get help. Hang on, I got it. With one final grunt of effort, and one great pull, Stephen got his arm free of the cube. Mostly free. I heard a sickening wet ripping sound as his arm came out, but it left part of it behind. I'd heard the term degloved for a workplace safety video, but because the images were so gruesome, they never showed us photos. Degloved was a word I never hoped I ever had to use, or ever have to see. The shock hit him before any pain. Stephen stared down at his red arm, layers of skin removed, starting under the elbow, unable to react. My stomach turned. Unable to help it, I turned away from him and lost all the contents of my stomach. Something went up through my nose and my eyes started to water from the pain, but I kept dry heaving. I was never able to deal with blood. Seeing such a bad injury was beyond something I could handle. I don't know if it was the rage or pain, but Stephen started to scream shortly after I started to puke. I was facing away from him, so I didn't see what he was doing, and I couldn't stop him. I heard slapping sounds between his screaming, like a sound of someone hitting wet sand. The moment I was physically able, I stood up, rubbing my eyes to look at him. I wanted to drag my friend back to the house to get him medical treatment, but my dumb friend had different ideas. Stephen was kicking at the clear cube, screeching. The part of his arm that remained was dissolving inside, and in a few seconds, it was gone. His foot was just bouncing off the cube, and he must have thought it was safe because he was wearing sandals and his bare feet weren't touching the thing. I screamed at him to stop with my raw throat, but it was too late. With one final kick, his leg sunk in deep inside the cube. I grabbed him under the arms again, willing myself not to puke, and started to pull, so scared and frantic to think of any better ideas. Somehow, he had enough wiggle room to move so he was face to face with me, foot still stuck. I didn't look at the cube. For him to turn like that, he might have done a number on his ankle. I feared it was already dissolved by the cube. Both of us screaming and yelling for help, he wrapped his arms around me, begging for me to save him. I pulled and used all my strength to try and get him away from that dangerous man-eating object he was stupid enough to touch. Even if he lost a leg, maybe, if I was fast enough, he could be saved. My skin crawled where his bleeding and injured arm grasped me, but I refused to let go. I desperately wanted to pull him free and bring him back to Greg's house. I heard that Justin's girlfriend was studying to be a nurse. If I could just get him back, he would be all right. I believed that, until Stephen stopped screaming. I was sweating and shaking. I looked down at him to see an expression on his face that made me turn cold. He was smiling. "It's all right. It doesn't hurt. Come with me." His arms tightened around my waist. Unable to stop him, I felt myself being dragged closer and closer to the cube. Both his legs at some point had been taken inside. I only saw up to his knees, and the cube started to drag more of him inside, and soon to be myself, all while he grinned like a maniac. I struggled, but I had already used up all of my energy trying to save him. I was doomed unless someone came by and saw us, but I doubted anyone cared enough about Stephen to come looking. After all, I hadn't actually been gone for very long. It was my turn to beg and plead. I sobbed, begging Stephen to let me go. I clawed at his good arm, not able to bring myself to touch his skinned one, even in that condition. Stephen was gone. I knew that. I could no longer save him. His waist was inside the cube, the rest eaten away. I thought that was to be my fate. But something happened. His expression changed. Suddenly, he let me go, and with his good arm, punched me as hard as he could in the face. My world went black for a few seconds. When I came to, I was on the ground, my friend with a scared yet relieved expression on his face. "Run." It was his last word to me. Almost like the cube was angry at him for letting me go, the rest of his body was sucked inside and lost to any rescue. I crab-walked away from it as fast as I could, head swimming and vision fading. My face pounded from where he hit me, but I was thankful for it. My eye would be black for some time. It really didn't hold back at all. I stared in horror as the last of Stephen was dissolved away. I gave me and the cube some distance. I was still positive it could somehow sense me and get me. But instead of coming for me, the cube, now clear from eating away the last of my friend, started to glide away on the sand. He went slowly towards the sea, touching the lapping waves. I didn't know what I was doing, but I felt a crazy pull towards it. I stood up on shaking legs and started to follow it. It disappeared inside the sea, and yet I couldn't stop my body from following. I walked and walked, screaming at my body to stop. When I was waist deep in the sea, Stephen's face and his last word came to my mind. That snapped me out of whatever trance I was in. In a panic, I forced myself out of the water and started to run towards the house. When I got inside, I was so frantic I tripped over the welcome mat and smashed my face against the shoe rack. It cut open my forehead, and I was out again for a few minutes. The party had stopped, worried about me. When I was awake enough, I begged someone to go and help Stephen. Greg had already called an ambulance for me, but was ready to call for more help. I couldn't tell them the crazy story of the strange man-eating jello cube, so I made up a lie. I said Stephen was drunk, tried to go swimming and went under. I tried to save him, but I was a bad swimmer. Bad swimmer was an understatement. I have nearly drowned at least 5 times, and drowned once. I had to get CPR and spit up water and everything. They all knew this and knew why I would come running for help. To them, if I tried to save him, they would have 2 drowned victims on their hands. And they did try to find him. I needed stitches for my forehead, and because so many people saw me bash my face, none of the police officers thought Stephen had hit me, though we got into a fight and I drowned him. They bought the story of him being drunk and going swimming. I don't know if I could have held under questioning if they thought anything else. The reason why they so quickly accepted my explanation is because they already had 6 missing persons suspected to have drowned. When I heard, I had to look into those cases. None of the cases reported seeing something strange, just that their loved ones went swimming, then just gone. I hadn't learned anything to prove my strange experience, but then I started to look at different cases in the next city over, and then the next. After hundreds of hours of researching and hundreds of missing persons cases, I could tell 2 things. If that clear cube was real, it was moving up and down the coast. Once it hit one town, at least 16 people went missing near and in the sea, and it would move further down the coast to do the same in a different area. And the second thing I could figure out, there was more than one of these creatures. Both the east and west coast had the same pattern. I could tell there were at least 6 of these creatures. I don't know what they are. All I know is if you see something strange on the beach, don't approach it. And be careful swimming.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.